the content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Hello, this is Martha Potter from the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from Our State Magazine. Today's reading of Our State Magazine is underwritten by Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974 and underwriting this podcast for over 15 years. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. The July issue of Our State Magazine is all about summer fun. The cover shows a picture of a big bowl of ice cream with the caption, "The Ice Cream Trail of Hendersonville." The table of contents page is emblazoned with the words "Summer Fun," along with a vintage photo showing a group of young women arm in arm in the shallows at Carolina Beach. This mid-century postcard is part of Elaine Henson's vast collection of vintage swimsuits and beach memorabilia, and we'll learn more about that later. First up is the welcome message, entitled "Frozen in Time," by the editor of the magazine, Elizabeth Hudson. On those sweltering July days, my grandmother and I ate tomato sandwiches and chilled cucumber slices soaked in vinegar for lunch to keep from heating up the stove. She tied a thin scarf around her hair to fend off the relentless sun and set up the sprinkler so I could play in the yard in my bathing suit. In the afternoons, drained from the summer heat, we sat on the front porch waiting for my grandfather to come home from the golf course, his neck slightly sunburned, his shirt damp and clinging to his back. He'd join us on the porch, letting the afternoon breeze cool him off, and after a few minutes, he'd rise from his chair, catch my eye, and give me a wink. I'd jump up and follow him inside to the kitchen, where he'd pull out a half gallon of Seal Test vanilla ice cream from the freezer and expertly scoop perfect rounds of ice cream into two tall glasses. I knew exactly what was coming next. From the refrigerator, he'd loop two fingers around a couple of glass bottle Coca-Colas and pop the caps, a satisfying tss with a metal opener. Then he'd pour the fizzy soda over the ice cream, creating a froth that bubbled up to the rim. He'd hand me a spoon, and I'd stir ever so gently, the way he taught me, blending the creamy swirls into the dark soda, that icy first sip sending a shiver of delight through me. I only knew my grandfather in the twilight of his years, but drinking those Coke floats with him, noticing how he playfully slid the glass to me, how he'd slurp the last drops with a boyish grin, I saw that he'd been a child once, too. The son of a Franklinville postmaster, a kid who skipped rocks in the deep river and thrown baseballs with his seven brothers and sisters. In those moments, with my grandfather, I glimpsed his youth. Could it be that something so simple as ice cream holds a secret? That the fountain of youth may actually have been a soda fountain? I only need to pull on the door handle of Yum Yum Better Ice Cream on the campus of UNCG to be whisked back 35 years when I'd duck in after exams, when there were still card catalogs in the library and payphones in the dorm. I can drink a chocolate milkshake from John's Drive-In in Kitty Hawk and immediately think of my dad, who loved nothing more than a well-made shake and kept an egg-shaped Camelton Beach Drink Master on our kitchen counter, always at the ready. In high school, before the bypass rerouted Ashboro traffic, my friends and I would cruise down old U.S. 220 to the beach, stopping at Seagrove Dairy Breeze for a dipped soft-serve cone, the day stretching out as long as that open road. Time was endless then. Throughout North Carolina, I see families making their ways to places like Yum Yum, settling into the rocking chairs on the front porch at Calabash Creamery, at Mapleview Farm in Hillsboro. They climb into the wooden booths at Yarborough's and Sanford's, and S&T's in Pittsboro. They place their orders, and then the cones, the sundaes, the milkshakes, the banana splits, they all arrive and melt away the years. With ice cream in hand, we are all children of summer, forever young. And now I'll take you on a descriptive journey through this month's photo essay. It's entitled "All in the Family." For more than 200 years, these farms have been passed down from generation to generation, preserved through hard work, innovation, and commitment. Today, they're part of a select group with a coveted title, Bicentennial Farm. Of the approximately 42,800 farms in North Carolina, only about 125 are designated bicentennial farms. Created in 2016 by the North Carolina Department of Agriculture, the program honors the hard work and dedication of the families who have continuously owned their farmland for 200 years or more. Over time, farms are split up and divided among family members, and farmland faces significant development pressure every day, says Andrea Ashby, spokesperson for the department that oversees the century and bicentennial farm programs. To counteract that pressure, innovative farmers transition crops to meet changing market needs or offer tours and community events that feature wagon rides, animal interaction, you pick produce, historic buildings, or antique farm equipment. Maintaining a farm in the same family for 200 years or more, Ashby says, is a testament to the commitment of family to hold on to their land. The picture here is a picture of a tall cornfield, and the caption says, cousins Samuel, age 5, and Eli, 10, are the 10th generation of the family that owns historic Knox Farm, the oldest of five bicentennial farms in Rowan County. And now more about historic Knox Farm. It's in Cleveland. It was established in 1758. Since 1758, Knox family members have grown crops and raised dairy cows amid open, rolling pastures and historic buildings. The 30 or so structures composing the Knox Farm Historic District include a chapel, a smokehouse, and a spring house, one of only two known log spring houses in Rowan County. Eighth-generation brothers Ben and Clark Knox and their cousin Robert live on the farm and welcome family from all over the country for reunions and weddings. And they show a picture of the house, I guess the main house, and looking out, there's a big, looks like a live oak tree or a pin oak tree out front. And this is clockwise. Oh, from here it says, Jacob, Ben, Robert, Luke, Samuel, and Eli Knox gather on the porch of their family's 1854 home place where Ben lives today. It's a nice older home, two-story older home. Vestiges of the past remain at Knox Farm, including the old home place, a barn originally built in 1916, and a mid-century tractor. Today, Robert Knox and his sons, Luke and Jacob, run the dairy cow operation of the business. And there's a couple of pictures here of this the big red barn. It's a quite a wonder. And there's a huge, it looks like sort of an Amish window at the top. Or I don't know if it's stained glass or just a plaque, but a symbol. It appears to be Amish, maybe, above the open main entrance to the barn. And then there's a truck. I guess they're sort of leading the cows in, the milk cows in for milking. The new-fashioned way, I suppose. Next up is Herndon Farm in Durham. It's established in 1780. Bordered on three sides by Durham suburbs and within sight of a sprawling shopping mall, Herndon Hills Farm, part of the 244-year-old Herndon Farm, is a haven where certified organic blueberries, blackberries, and muscadine grapes are ripe for picking each summer. People love our blueberries for health and our grapes for happiness, co-owner Nancy Herndon says. Herndon Farms makes it easy for people living in the Durham suburbs to pick up fresh organic blueberries straight from the bushes. I love being a farmer and growing food to share with the community, Nancy Herndon says. And there's a picture of her walking between the blueberry bushes and other trees on that farm with a sort of a sunset picture, the sunset going down in the background. The historic 137-acre property was once said to be the most threatened farm in North Carolina because of pressure from land developers. Knowing that the suburbs would come, Herndon and her father adopted a pick-your-own approach, and now local customers are helping the farm weather the change from rural past to high-tech present. And Herndon Farm is located on Massey Chapel Road and herndonhillsfarm.com for more information. The photos here show Nancy, Fred, Cherry, Philip, and Faith Herndon standing in front of their historic family farmhouse. They grow muscadines and raise cows on the same land that Nancy's father once tended, and they've got some old vintage photos showing the farm in past days, and a snippet of some grapes, and one of their friendly black and white cows. Souther Farms, Souther Williams Vineyard. It's in Fletcher, North Carolina, established in 1800. Driven by a passion for unique European wines, Ken Parker and Angela Adams created Souther Williams Vineyard to give new life to old family land. Named for Parker's grandparents, Carrie Souther and J.K. Williams, the mountain vineyard sits on the Henderson County farm that's been in his family since 1800. Souther Williams' first slogan, inspired by Parker's European-based family name, which is associated with park keepers, was Gardien de la Terre, Gardien de la Terre, meaning caretakers of the wild. While the slogan has changed over time, the sentiment endures. And you can find more information about Souther Williams at their website, SoutherWilliams.com. Ken Parker, Angela Adams, and their granddaughter, Ashley, carry on the farming tradition once upheld by Parker's grandmother. And they have a picture of her, Carrie Souther, with Parker as a young child. They also have pictures of their private label wines and looks like private label glasses as well. Providence Farm in McLeansville, established in 1795. After serving in World War I, Floyd Buchanan took farming classes at NC State College. He then converted part of his family farm from subsistence farming to production of tobacco and other commodities. Floyd loved this land, says Joy Combs, who today co-owns Providence Farm along with Buchanan's grandson, Darrell Cobb. I feel a connection to him because he walked every place on this dirt that I walk daily. Motivated by the family's desire to see the farm preserved, Cobb and Combs use sustainable practices to nurture chickens, sheep, pigs, and goats, including heritage breeds. We have the responsibility and opportunity to steward this land, Combs says. And this is for more information, you can look up providencefarmnc.com. They have a few pictures here. Joy Combs and Darrell Cobb raise heritage breeds, including Rommeldale, California variegated mutant sheep like Cairo. And Cairo is sort of he's got a white blaze on his nose, and then he's brown. Most of him is brown, darker, different colors of brown. Cobb's grandfather, Floyd Buchanan, once used the log pack house to store cured bright leaf tobacco, and it looks like split log barn, I should say, and with a traditional barn roof that was once used to cure tobacco. We also have a picture of a chicken and a picture of another lamb looking up at the camera. So River, Asa, and Bella have participated in various events at Providence Farm, including homeschool classes, workshops, and open farm day events. So these are some kids that have come out. There's River looks like he's helping to feed some pigs. He's got on his rubber boots, and he's dumping some food out for the pigs. And then looks like Asa and Bella are walking along picking sunflowers and other flowers along a little walk there. Wadsworth Acres in Carthage, established 1812. Bradley Wadsworth describes farming on the land owned by his family since 1812 as the biggest blessing I could ever have. As eighth-generation Moore County farmers, he and his wife, Austin, work together raising Balancer beef cattle and live in the 1850 family homestead that served as the post office for the nearby community of Jessup from 1931 to 1934. Bradley's great-great-grandfather, William J. Wadsworth, was the last Jessup postmaster. Bradley's uncle and family historian, R.G. Wadsworth, often shared stories of family members riding on horseback across creeks to deliver the mail. And the photo here is of Bradley and Austin Wadsworth. They have, they're pictured with their daughter, Willa Grace and Laura Jane, and the dog Maverick. They raise Balancer beef cattle, which is a cross between Angus and Gelbvia, whose small frame allows more cows to graze per acre. And there's a picture of rolling hills with some trees planted here and there, and lots of green for the cows to nibble on. Gillis Hill Farm in Fayetteville, established 1816. Amazing Grace is what John D. Gillis II calls his family's journey from Scotland to the ninth generation Gillis Hills Farm, where all of his family members, including 11 grandchildren, work and live. Since 1816, the Gillises have transitioned from farming timber to growing tobacco to raising corn, soybeans, and wheat. "I'm proud that we're still here," said John's son William. John's father, John Davis Gillis Sr., was awarded the prestigious Order of the Longleaf Pine in 2017 for his exemplary service and dedication to Cumberland County's agriculture and community. Farm tours are popular with families from nearby Fort Liberty who can interact with animals and see restored farm equipment and buildings, including a tobacco barn, grist mill, and sawmill. On their property in Fayetteville, William and John Gillis are shown here. They sell homemade ice cream and baked goods and offer self-guided walking tours that feature restored farm buildings and equipment, animals to see and feed, a grist mill, a pond, and a kids' play area. For more information or to visit Gillis Hill Farm, check out their website at gillishillfarm.com. Gillis is G-I-L-L-I-S. There's some more things that were found from the Gillis Hill Farm. Photographs from the 1800s, old buttons found on the farm, a grist mill, and a stock certificate offer evidence of Gillis Hill Farm's long history. And they have a picture of that grist mill. Fairly plain two-story structure, but you can obviously see the recognizable wheel on the side there and some old vintage photos. And it looks like some old military buttons. It looks like from military uniforms, lots of eagles and other buttons that have been found. They probably have a little small museum area. Davis Family Farms in Fremont was established in 1776. In 2021, Joshua and Aaron Davis and their daughters Delaney, 12, and Bailey, 4, moved back to Joshua's nearly 250-year-old family farm in Wayne County. "We wanted to continue the legacy and raise our kids with the passion for agriculture that they were already exhibiting by getting into the garden and showing livestock," Joshua says. The Davises raise sheep, goats, chickens, and pigs. They grow heirloom tomatoes, Jubilee watermelons, and at least 20 other crops, and welcome visitors to wander in their five-acre sunflower field. At the Saturday farm stand, the whole family sells seasonal products, including fresh cooked collards and sweet potato biscuits, prepared using inherited family recipes. For more information about Davis Family Farms, check out their website at davisfamilyfarmsnc.com. Ninth generation farmer Joshua Davis and his wife Erin, their daughters Bailey and Delaney, are proud to carry on the family legacy. "We want to build the farm so that it's a viable option for Delaney and Bailey to continue," Josh says. I got a couple of pictures here. It's got a picture of the sweet family holding on to some sunflowers and being dwarfed by the giant sunflowers, and it's part of that five-acre sunflower field. And the facing page has a picture of a red sunflower, and there's a bumblebee sipping some nectar. Next up, let's see how far we can make it through this list of 50 simple summer pleasures. Stargazing, s'mores, tomato sandwiches. It's easy to have a spectacular summer in North Carolina. How many items can you check off our seasonal bucket list? Number one on the list is to walk barefoot in the sand at your North Carolina beach, of course. Surfers wait for the perfect wave at Wrightsville Beach. For anglers, Lake Junaluska provides a similar lesson in patience. And we've got a drone picture over the Wrightsville Beach area. And also at Lake Junaluska, we've got a picture of looking over the lake and someone's fishing in the lake. So number two on the list is cast a line from a pier, and that would be from Lake Junaluska. Catching dinner is encouraged but not required. Number three, bring home a peck of peaches from the sandhills. Number four, dive off a dock into a cool mountain lake. Number five, go fly a kite at Jockey's Ridge. Number six, paddle down a river. Number seven, island hop via a ferry. Number eight, take the plunge down Sliding Rock. Number nine, watch a classic movie at a drive-in theater. Number 10, a road trip down NC Highway 12 or the other end of the state, the Blue Ridge Parkway. Number 11, camp in your own backyard. Number 12, root for the home team at a minor league baseball game. Number 13 is a favorite, spot lightning bugs at dusk. Number 14, eat a juicy tomato sandwich with soft bread, Duke's mayo, salt and pepper. Enough said. Number 15, pick out fresh produce at a farmer's market. Number 16, put together a summer reading list. How about 17, savor a cold craft beer on a warm afternoon. 18, eat calabash-style fried seafood in Calabash. Number 19, watch a thunderstorm roll in. Number 20, collect shells. Extra points if you spot a Scotch bonnet. Number 21, have a picnic at a state park. There are 41 state parks. Number 22, make some s'mores. Number 23, cool off in Linville Caverns. 24, go wild at the North Carolina Zoo. Number 25, watch the sunrise from Clingman's Dome. Number 26, watch the sunset over a sound. Take your pick, Albemarle Sound, Bogue, Coeur, Croatan, Currituck, Pamlico, Roanoke, or visit all seven. The little caption here is a picture of, it says, spot Cape Lookout Lighthouse in the distance when boating on Bogue Sound near Emerald Isle at Mount Mitchell State Park. It's mountains as far as the eye can see. Those are the two photos on the this page. That along with a delicious-looking tomato sandwich. Number 27 on the list, sit a spell on a rocking chair. Combined with number 28 for the perfect afternoon. Number 28 is sip sweet tea in the shade. The caption here for these two is beat the heat this summer at Cone Manor on the Blue Ridge Parkway near Blowing Rock. And then another picture from number coming up on the Lowered Cascade Falls at Hanging Rock State Park in Stokes County. And we'll get to that one in just a second. Number 29, stroll through a vineyard. Number 30, look for sea turtles. Number 31, listen to live music at an outdoor concert. And number 32, and this is what I was reading about earlier, the Lower Cascade Falls, Hanging Rock State Park in Stokes County, wander to a waterfall. And there's this cool mountain stream crashing down this little small waterfall. It looks like places to level places that you could walk on the rocks and stay cool. Number 33, order a shrimp burger at Big Oak Drive-In in Salterpath. And they've got a picture of that shrimp burger. Fried shrimp, tartar sauce, coleslaw, and ketchup on a steamed bun. The shrimp burger is a North Carolina icon. Served with some French fries. Number 34, take a day hike on the Appalachian Trail or the Mountains to the Sea Trail. Number 35, frolic at a flower farm. 36, climb to the top of Chimney Rock. Number 37, squeeze lemons for some ice-cold lemonade. 38, swing in a hammock. Number 39, attend a local festival. Number 40, eat homemade ice cream. 41, ride a bike on a greenway. number 43, and they've got a picture of this one. Take a hot dog tour. Your order, a Carolina dog all the way, which means it's topped with chili, slaw, and onions and mustard. Number 44, see wild horses in Kerala or on the Shackelford Banks. Number 45, watch an outdoor drama in Cherokee, Boone, or Manteo. Number 46, meander through the gorgeous gardens at Biltmore Estate or Tryon Palace. Oops, I've got a backup here. Number 42, I missed. Watch fireworks, whether it's over a ball field or a boardwalk. Sparks will fly. And number 47, reconnect at a family reunion. Number 48, spend the day at a museum. Number 49, go berry picking. And number 50, stargaze along Cape Lookout National Seashore. If you need inspiration for how and where to complete this bucket list in North Carolina, visit ourstate.com/summerpleasures. This month's Tar Heel timeline is entitled Have a Seat. From colonial consumers to interior decorators around the world, everyone wants a piece of North Carolina-made furniture that's always built to last. 1827. Known as the father of the North Carolina furniture industry, cabinet maker Thomas Day, a free man of color, opens his workshop in Milton where he builds furniture and wooden architectural elements for his elite clientele. 1881. White Furniture Company in Mebane is established and eventually becomes known for its dining and bedroom furniture. It is one of the earliest examples of mechanized furniture manufacturing in the state. 1890. Union County-born Benjamin Huntley opens a furniture store in Winston-Salem. After a few decades of substantial growth, B.F. Huntley Furniture Company becomes the largest manufacturer of bedroom and dining room furniture in the country. 1922. Thomasville erects a 13-foot chair in the center of town, where Thomasville Chair Company operates out of an old tobacco warehouse. 4 years later, High Point builds the Big Bureau, which was refurbished in 1996 as the world's largest chest of drawers. 1958, furniture manufacturers near Hickory stop by Mull's Motel and Restaurant to present their new products to buyers who often stay there while on business. These gatherings grow to become the Hickory Furniture Mart. Well, that sound means that we've run out of time for today's episode of Our State Magazine. I hope you enjoyed it and that you'll be sure to listen next time. I'm Martha Potter, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Today's reading of Our State Magazine is underwritten by Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. The broadcast is readily available as a podcast on our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. So long until next time.